Well, it's good to be here this morning, and thankful for you all coming here to the Sunday School Hour, and looking forward to seeing what God is going to do today. My name is Evangelist Tim Schmidt. This is my wife, Megan. We are from Sacramento, North Highlands Faith Baptist Tabernacle. My pastor, Mike Rogers, I think he came for the graduation, spoke of the graduation in May here with the school, and so he served here for several years, and his daughter came to a saving knowledge of Christ while she was here. And we just saw his daughter Heather yesterday. And so God's used this church in a kind of a different way, but also to impact Sacramento. And then there's no pastor that's had a bigger impact in my life than Pastor Mike Rogers. And so I'm thankful for how God has used this church throughout the years, and what God is going to continue to do. And so I grew up there at in Sacramento, grew up at Faith Baptist. I got saved when I was 5 years old. My mom and dad, both born-again Christians. For the most part, my mom and dad were Christian school teachers, and now my dad's a pastor. But my parents were so consistent, and they prayed for my sister and I. My sister's a pastor's wife, and I'm thankful for the Christian home that I grew up in. And it was a Sunday night service that I realized that I needed Jesus Christ to save me. And I got saved when I was 5 years old, and then I got baptized when I was 12. And you say, why did you wait so long to get baptized? Well, I was very shy and quiet growing up. I hated having attention being brought on to me. And then, number two, I wasn't a good swimmer at the time, and I thought the pastor would drown me. And so I would give my life for Christ, and that would be it. But after I got baptized, I really started growing in the Lord. My mom and dad bought me a brand new Bible, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to read this for myself. I went to Christian school, but I was starting to read it on my own. And then I started making a prayer list, and I started realizing God's answering my prayers, not just my mom and dad's prayers, not just my pastor's prayers, but he's answering my prayers. And the Lord became so personal to me. And then God got a hold of my heart with soul winning and being able to lead my first soul to Christ. I remember talking, it was a guy in the youth group, and I was talking to him, and my Bible was shaking as I was giving him the gospel. And the reason why my Bible was shaking was because my hand was shaking. I was so nervous. And but God used me to lead one of the teenagers in our youth group to the Lord, and that just lit a fire in my heart. I remember when I got saved, but boy, to see somebody else come to a saving knowledge of Christ, to lead someone else, there's just nothing like it. And so that lit a fire in me and started going out on visitation door to door and trying to give the gospel wherever I could. And God got a hold of my heart with the call to preach, specifically the call to be an evangelist. And that's what I do now. Evangelists, we would have come in. I think you've had Mike Schrock here before and some others. And so we're kind of the same lines as that. And so we travel all around the country and speak and so on. And God began to work on my heart to be an evangelist. And I thought, no, I don't want to be an evangelist because they're up in front of people. They have to be friendly and outgoing, and that's just not me. I'd rather just sit in the back and be quiet and not have any attention. The only thing that appealed to me about being an evangelist is traveling. I love to travel. I have had the privilege of being in all 50 states, and so I've been a lot of places. I have just about everything on my bucket list done. I don't know if that means that I'm going to be kicking the bucket soon, but I've been everywhere that I really would like to go. I guess the Ark is one other thing I'd like to go see, maybe in Kentucky, but I'm thankful for the privilege to travel, and I love traveling. But it took me 3 months, and finally I surrendered to the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it, but you have a lot of work to do on me. And I was so shy and quiet at that time. The way our church is set up, the drinking fountains were behind the platform, and there's some offices behind our church auditorium, and that's where the drinking fountain was. And if I wanted to get a drink, I wouldn't walk even up on the platform. I would go outside, go around the other way, go through a side door to get to the drinking fountain because I was so scared to get up on the platform. And it didn't matter if people were in the auditorium or not. I was just so terrified at that time when I said, God, I surrender. I'll do it, but you have a lot of work to do on me. And God certainly has done a lot of work on me. And I went off to North Carolina to Ambassador Baptist College to train underneath Evangelist Ron Comfort. And North Carolina is a different place. It's completely different from California. And so I had to learn a lot of different things. Had to learn how to drive again. They drive differently out there. They eat different kinds of foods. Fried okra, I'd never had that. Grits, I'd never had that either. Sweet tea, I didn't have sweet tea until I went out there. You see, you must be deprived as a child. Maybe I was, but it was there that I met my wife, Megan. Megan grew up in Columbus, Georgia, and God put us together. She's the first girl that I ever dated. And I'm the first guy she ever dated. And I didn't know if the Lord would work it out that way, but He did. And I'm thankful for how God put us all together. And so God worked there in North Carolina. That calling of evangelist has never left. You have a missionary that comes and presents his field of, say, New Zealand. And they, you see the pictures and so on. You get a little bit of a burden for New Zealand. But 2 weeks down the road, you're not thinking about New Zealand. But that missionary can't get it off his mind. And that's exactly how I feel about evangelists, is that it's not just a burden, it's a calling. A burden is temporary, a calling is consistent. And so it was 8 years ago that God pulled the trigger, and we have been in evangelism now for 8 years, based in Sacramento. There's not many evangelists in California. I only know of two other ones. And it's an impossible thing, and God's the God of the impossible. And He's at work in a lot of different places. And I'm thinking about, I would ask if you'd pray for this man named Danny. I'm thinking about him today, and I'm going to pray in just a little bit for him. But we were in Tucson, Arizona 2 weeks ago and had a meeting, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday meeting. I'm preaching, and there was a man and a woman in the back, a boyfriend, girlfriend. And I sensed that they probably were lost or there was some spiritual need there. And as I'm preaching and after the service, I asked the pastor, I said, so what's the story on that boyfriend and girlfriend? And the pastor said, well, Tim, you asked. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's coming next? He says, Tim, that's not a girl. And I'm like, wait, what? He says, Tim, that's a man. That has had the surgery, all of that, transgender. And his sister had just passed away. And the pastor was there when the sister was dying and did the funeral. And so now this transgender came to the church and has come the last week or two. I don't know the salvation testimony, but he is saved. And then he was there every service. And after we were there, he went up to the pastor and he asked if he could get baptized. And so God's at work in this man's life. And the pastor asked me, he says, so Tim, in all of your preaching this weekend, he says, did you change anything to specifically speak to him? And I said, I'm trying to think back. And I said, no, there wasn't anything that I, veered off what God had, just go at him. And I said, but I sensed the spiritual warfare. Because here's a man that's been gripped by Satan. Of course, he's, rough childhood, was molested by his sisters. I mean, just terrible. Mom and dad are both in prison. But God's working on him. And there's a grip that Satan has had on his life, and I just sense that God is trying to pull away that grip. And so today the pastor is going to talk more to him about baptism and identifying with Christ. Some people, they gave their life for baptism. And so if you would, his name is Danny. If you would, I'd like to just take just a few moments. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for that pastor. And if you would pray for him as well, and then we'll get into the scriptures here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just feel impressed upon you to pray for this man, Danny, and Lord, we all come before you. Lord, we come before you as one. You said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And so we come before you as one, pleading and bringing before you this man, Danny, that has been in the grips of sin, the grips of Satan. And Lord, you are the God who is all-powerful. Lord, you have resurrection power. You are more powerful than the devil. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And I ask, Lord, that you would work in Danny's life, that you would transform him through your power, that you would, I've not known of anybody personally yet, Lord, but I pray that you would transform him and use him as a testimony and a trophy of your grace. Lord, may you get glory out of his life. Lord, give him courage to take the next steps of obedience. Lord, increase his faith. I pray that he would be willing and surrendered to do whatever it takes to live for you and to be right with you. And I pray for this pastor in Tucson that you would give him wisdom and understanding beyond his years. Lord, that you would so fill him with thy spirit that you would give him that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Lord, may you give such grace and mercy in this situation. Lord, revive it. You're in the reviving business. And I pray, Lord, that once again you would use him as a trophy of your grace, that you would exalt yourself through his life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was at a camp years ago, and there was a contest to see who could memorize the most verses. And so there were set verses that the campers had. And then this one kid in our cabin, he memorized all the set verses and then had permission to start memorizing even more. And eventually, by the end of the week, he said 83 verses. And he went to me and asked me, he says, "What's a good passage I can memorize that's pretty quick?" And I said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And there's several verses that are easy to memorize. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Rejoice evermore." From the youngest of us to the oldest of us, we could memorize that verse. Rejoice evermore. And what a great verse to meditate on. And you can't meditate on any of the scripture that you haven't memorized. And so you think about rejoice evermore, and just get the address, those two words, but then get the address, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And then he says, pray without ceasing. This means that we are to always be in the spirit of prayer. There ought to be a time in your day that you spend in prayer. You ought to set aside a specific time that I'm going to take these next 15 minutes, the next 30 minutes or an hour, whatever it might be, and I'm going to spend time with the Lord in prayer. But then all throughout the day, we need to be in prayer. One of the phrases one of my evangelist friends says is, no Bible, no breakfast. If he doesn't spend time in the Bible, then he's not going to eat his breakfast. And some people, you know, that's how they did it as well. They put that as their motto, no Bible, no breakfast. If I'm not going to spend time in God's Word, then I'm not going to eat breakfast. And some people say, well, that's the most important meal of the day. Well, exactly. You need God's Word in the morning. And then I mentioned that one time, and a lady says, well, I'm a diabetic, and I've got to eat all throughout the day. And it just made sense that I need God's Word, not just in the morning. I need it all throughout the day. And it is so true. We need God's Word all throughout the day. Well, we need to pray all throughout the day. It's not just prayer in the morning and then you leave God off. No, it's pray without ceasing. Prayer should be as natural to the Christian as walking or breathing as it is for us physically. But far too often it's reserved for emergencies or special occasions. And so God wants us to pray without ceasing. Really, our text is going to be verse 18. We're going to continue on a couple of verses after that, but verse 18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We'll get back to that verse in just a moment, but verse 19, it says, "Quench not the Spirit." This verse convicts me. Quench not. The word quench means to extinguish, to put the fire out. Of course, in California, we know about fires. And last year, you know, we're trying to put those fires out and the damage that they did with all of those fires. Well, here, quench, you're putting the fire out, but this isn't a fire you want put out. This is something that you want to burn inside of you. Maybe you had a passion for prayer, a passion for God's Word, a passion for seeing souls come to know Christ as your Savior, Christ as their Savior, but that fire's been put out. God wants to revive that. He wants to stir it back up again. And what quenches the spirit? Sin. Of course, we have this in context, giving thanks, but quench not the spirit. Your sin quenches the spirit. There's so many things about this. There was a revival that took place at Liberty University back in the 70s. And God was moving in an unusual way. And students getting right with God, getting right with each other. And just a powerful time. And one man got up and he began to boast. And it was done. The Holy Spirit was quenched. The fire was put out. The reviving was over. And we can quench the Spirit by our sin, by our pride. And so we don't want to quench the Spirit. We want to have those fires and have it burn within us. The other thing I notice about quench not the Spirit is that your life affects the Lord. Your life affects God. How you live affects God. Of course, the devil hates us. The devil hates God. And one of the ways he can get to God and hurt him and affect him is through us. And so I see such an intimacy that's there in our walk with the Lord that you and I can quench the Spirit. God is so close, so intimate with us that our life can affect him. Then he says in verse 20, despise not prophesying or preaching. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. I just sense an urgency about that. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get to verse 24. One of my life verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. And when I surrendered to God's call to be an evangelist, and I said, okay, God, I'll do it, but you have a lot of work to do on me. The greatest thing I had, the greatest struggle I had in that was, can I trust God to do it? Can I trust God to mold me and make me to be an evangelist? And 1,000 times, yes. Faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you. There's no one greater to trust in than in God. You get close enough to me, at some point I'm going to fail you. I get close enough to you, at some point you're going to fail me. We have inconsistencies in our lives. But God, he is faithful. There's no inconsistency with him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can absolutely trust him. And faithful is he that calls you who also will do it. So that verse has been a great encouragement. So now we'll go back into our text here, verse 18. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God says, you need to be thankful in everything. In every situation. And sometimes we think, well, I don't want to be thankful. I don't want to give thanks in everything. This seems impossible to do. And it is in our own strength. This word in, as it starts off, has the idea of remaining within. It has rest, continuance. It has regard to place and space. And so this is something that we're to continue to do. In everything, give thanks. In every circumstance, every situation, we can give thanks. One of my goals in life, I drive a lot. And one of my goals in life is to never get a ticket. And all these years, until about 2 years ago, I got my first ticket. And I went, now I didn't tell you that I have never deserved a ticket, okay? I've deserved many tickets, but I never had gotten a ticket. And I went to the mailbox, I opened it up, and I see this letter from the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department, and I'm like, oh, great. And I open it up, and there's my picture, and there's the picture of my car and my license plate, and it tells me that I have ran a red light, and that I need to pay $535, and I need to appear in court. And I'm like, no way, I didn't do this. But sure enough, you can go on the internet, they give you the website, you can look it up, and sure enough, I saw myself, it was a red light, I was making a right turn, there was a van in front of me, so I didn't realize that it was red or yellow when he went, and I just went right on through as well. They took the picture, and now I've got to appear in court and pay $535. Now, I've never had gotten a ticket. And so I get to court and I'm pretty confident, I would think, that I could talk to the judge and tell them that, you know, hey, I've never had a ticket. I'm a good guy. I'm a good citizen. And this is my first time. Can you let me go? And then I'm a little frustrated about the whole situation. And so I come before the judge, and the judge says, how do you plead? And I said, well, I'm guilty. I did it. And she says, go pay your fine. And I wanted to explain myself, and she says, I don't want to hear this. Go pay your fine. Right then I got upset. Now I'm pretty even keeled by nature, but now I'm going to wait in this line for about 45 minutes to get to the counter, and I am just fuming. I'm like, this is stupid. You know, I mean, $535. It wasn't even a police officer. It was a stupid camera. And I can't even talk it, get out of this ticket. Maybe the only thing I'd think of was, well, at least the county of Sacramento is going to use all the $535 wisely. Maybe not. I'm like, $535. This is so expensive. I could buy an iPad for this. You know, I'm just going through pouring on all these things. I get to the counter and I'm trying to talk to myself. And now, Tim, don't take it out on the lady at the counter. And I get to the counter. I said, this is stupid. You know, why do I have to pay $500? I'm trying to calm myself down. I have to pay $535. She says, sir, I know. I understand. And she's trying to calm me down. I finally get out, go into the car, and I'm just so mad. I get in the car and I start driving down, and I am just complaining and griping, and the Lord then reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks. And I say, I don't want to give thanks right now. I'm mad. I'm upset. I don't want to think about this verse. And God's reminding me of this. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I said, God, I have nothing to be thankful for. I'm so mad right now. I can't think of anything right now. You're going to have to help me, you know, to do this verse, because I'm just so upset. And so the Lord began to help me. I started thinking about, okay, what are some of the things I can be thankful for? Okay, I ran this red light, but at least I didn't hit anything. Maybe if I would have hit the car in front of me, it would have done more damage to my car than $535. I had the money in the bank. I didn't have to take out, put on the credit card or anything like that. I'm thankful that I didn't hit anybody. What happens if I would have hit somebody, would have hurt them, or even worse, they were killed? That would have changed my life. And I said, God, from here on out till I get home, about halfway home, I said, I'm not going to complain anymore. I'm just going to try to think of things to be thankful for. By the time I got home, my whole heart attitude had changed. And I just said, God, thank you for being merciful to me. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for your grace. And the Lord just changed my whole heart attitude. Maybe there's times where you've gotten upset and you have a hard time to, how can I be thankful in this? How can we be obedient? Well, it's not going to be in our own strength. It's going to be through the Lord. Job 1:21, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know of anybody. I've met some people that have gone through some stuff, but I've never met anybody that's gone through things that happened to Job. If you play it out, it takes about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and he's lost everything. And yet his response is what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow, he responded in thankfulness, even in all of that situation. Go over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. This matter of thankfulness is a big deal with God. Romans chapter 1, we see the whole spiral downward of mankind and the rejection of God. And there's so many principles here in Romans chapter 1. We'll go to verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Literally means to hold down the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one that will appear before God at the great white throne of judgment will be able to say, God, you didn't show me. They're without excuse. It takes maximum effort to be an atheist. Someone said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. They have more faith than I do. And so it takes that maximum effort against God. And so it's going through these things. But then it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And then get this next part. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The first step down was they devalued God. Eventually, I'll just read these off. They deglorified God in verses 22, 23. Verse 25, they distorted God. Verse 28, they denied God. Verse 29 and 30, they despised God. And then verse 31, 32, they defiled God. This is a whole spiral downward. But the beginning of this, neither were they thankful. You see, this matter of having a thankful heart is a big deal to God. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Psalm 105 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." You know, there's always something to be thankful for. It doesn't just say in some things, it says in everything. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." So even in this matter of prayer, part of prayer, of the prayer and supplication, part of our praying needs to be giving of thanks. You have a prayer list, maybe you do, you got a prayer list, but do you have a praise list? Do you have things that you're thankful for? So often, children come up and they just ask. And that can be a little annoying. And then other times, you know, they just come up, "Hey, I just want to tell you I love you, give you a hug," and then go on their way. And oh, how sweet it is just to have a thank you. And I see that with the Lord. He wants us to come back to him and say thank you. And to have a heart attitude of gratitude and say, "God, I've just come before you not wanting anything, but just to spend time with you. Just to say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you for strength, for health." And just go to the Lord with thanksgiving. Prayer is not just asking and receiving, though it is that. It is also thanksgiving. It's also praise and worship. And so he says, "In everything give thanks." And it says, "For this is the will of God." Some people say, "What's God's will for my life?" Especially young people, you know, what does God want for my life? What is God's will? God's will, I remember being in college and Vandus Ron Comfort saying, God's will is not just distant, it's daily. You want to be in God's will 5 years from now, you need to be in God's will today. He says, those of you that want to be pastors, missionaries, evangelists, he says, you know what God's will is for you? Do your homework. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that, you know, but that's true. Be faithful in what God has for you now. And then 5 years from now, be in God's will today, tomorrow, then you'll be in God's will 5 years from now. A part of God's will for your life and mine is to give thanks in everything. That means that if we are not doing this, if we don't have a heart attitude of thankfulness, we're out of God's will. Being thankful is part of the will of God. You work with people that gripe and complain all the time. You have family members that gripe and complain all the time. And yet it's us that are Christians that can stand out in this world. One of the ways, by having a thankful heart. We're to set the example. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We have more to be thankful for that with those of us who know Christ as our Savior than anybody else. We have so much to be thankful for. I was with my former youth pastor in Arizona 2 weeks ago, and Mark Maxwell's his name, and he was telling about he taught at he was the youth pastor where IBC's at. I'm trying to think of the name of the church. Can't think of the church's name right now, but he was the youth pastor there for many years, and he was also the youth pastor in Sacramento. And he said, I remember when I was in college at Bob Jones, there was a missionary that came, and he was from Russia, and talked about how he got saved and how that he was invited to this meeting, and it was a secretive meeting. And he says they didn't turn on the lights. You didn't greet anybody. You didn't see anybody's faces. When they gave prayer requests, it was a generalization, no specifics, so you didn't know who was in there. So that way, if the KJB caught them, they wouldn't be able to give anybody else's name. He says, when we left, somebody slipped me a piece of paper. And I had that piece of paper in my hand, put it in my pocket, put it way down in my pocket. He said, I didn't want anybody to see me have it. And he says, I was afraid that maybe somebody would come and arrest me because I went to this meeting. He says, I got home and I reached in my pocket. I opened it up and he says, it was a portion of the Bible. But it only had just a few words. And all it said was, and God knew Nehemiah. And he's like, what's this? You know, who's Nehemiah? And you know, it's thinking about, okay, God knew Nehemiah. The next day he goes around town and he says, does anybody know where Nehemiah's at? I'm trying to look for Nehemiah. And nobody knew who Nehemiah was. He couldn't find Nehemiah. And he thought, you know what, if God knows Nehemiah and I can't find him, but God does know him, God must know me. And he started going to those meetings and he got saved. The Bible was so precious that they would just tear a little bit of the page every week and give it to somebody. And that was your Bible the rest of the week. My youth pastor, Mark Maxwell, he says, I did that with the youth group. I had a Bible that was just so ratted, going to be thrown away. And he says, I just cut out some pages and I gave it to the youth as they left that Wednesday night. And I said, for the next week, that's all you've got is that one page. Don't read anything else extra. Just take that one page. And so some of them came back and they said, Brother Maxwell, you gave me a page of scripture, but it didn't have the whole story. And I wanted to know what happened. So I didn't just read that one page. I got out my Bible. I wanted to know what happened to the rest of the story. And so they were eager and the Word of God began to become more precious to them. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to cut a piece of page, you know, get a page of scripture and have that for the week. I've been thinking about that ever since he told me that. But I'm like, I don't want to do that. I've got goals that I'm reading in Bible, and of course I'm studying for messages, and honestly, I don't want to give it up. I don't want to give up the whole Bible for just a page of the Bible when I can have the whole thing. Even just that whole thinking's made me more grateful for the Word of God. Yet we have the whole Bible. We don't just have a page. Wow, how blessed are we? And we take it for granted so easily. Maybe after I get done all of my goals this year with my Bible reading, maybe if I get done early, I'm going to try that. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to try it. Like, I don't have to do that. I do have the scriptures. Maybe someday we won't have our Bibles. Maybe we'll be in prison and all that we'll have is what we've memorized. Oh, we're so blessed. There's so much to be thankful for. And so this is the will of God, that for us to be thankful. If you don't have a thankful heart, you're outside of the will of God. You're disobedient to Him. When's the last time you confessed your sin of ingratitude? Say, God, I have not been thankful. I have not had a thankful heart. God, I confess this to you as sin. You say this is impossible to do, and you're right, it is impossible in our own strength. We can't do this. I needed help. In that situation, I mean, it's a $535 illustration, and it's a silly story to go and do that, but at that time, in that moment, I couldn't think of anything to be thankful for. And so God helped me with that. He reminded me, I need God to help me. And maybe you're in a situation, I can't think of anything to be thankful for. Ask God to help you. How are we going to do this? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ that we can do this. It's in Christ that we live the Christian life. Paul and Silas were imprisoned for serving the Lord, for preaching the gospel. And were they then there complaining? No. They were singing praises. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, they were still, even in the midst of such terrible circumstances, they were still singing praises to the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. We can be thankful in everything because we have a God that is greater than any circumstance you and I face. You think of Joseph. Joseph had so much against him. I mean, opportunities to become bitter, his brothers betray him, seek to kill him, throw him in there in the pit, then sell him. And eventually God exalts him, but then he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, put in prison. And then he interprets the dreams of the prisoners, and yet they forgot him as well. And eventually he comes to the place where in Psalms it talks about that the word of the Lord tried him. And those dreams tried him all those years, but he came to a place where he saw those dreams fulfilled. And he says to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Through all of that, how he did not become bitter, because he knew there was a God that was greater than any circumstance he was facing. He knew there was a God that was working behind the scenes. The opposite of that is Naomi. Naomi was bitter at God. Her husband died. Her children died. All she has is Ruth. And now she's going back to Bethlehem and she says, don't call me Naomi, pleasant one. You call me Mara. You call me bitter. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly against me. No, he hadn't. And you know, I wish I could say to Naomi, I know you haven't seen, you haven't read that you're going to be in the Bible here and you haven't read the four chapters of Ruth, but there's a God that's working these things out. That you're going to be in line, Ruth is going to be in line of the kinsman redeemer of Jesus, but also the grandmother of David. I mean, so many blessings. Oh, Naomi, if you just have faith in God, if you just trust that he's bigger than whatever circumstance you're facing. Now, I've met some people, and they've got some great circumstances. I've gone through some things, but some people, oh, I do not envy their life for going through the things that they've gone through. But every single person that I've met, I can say to them, God is bigger than your circumstance. He is. How can I be thankful in everything? Through Christ. He's bigger than whatever things you and I may face. We can be thankful because we have faith in a God that is working behind the scenes in every circumstance. Now, in order to obey this verse, it's going to take faith. Because maybe you can't see it right now. Maybe you're going through something and you can't, just like I did at that point where I can't think of anything to be thankful for. You can ask God to help, but then you can just trust that in the end, God's going to work this thing out. You keep your focus on the Lord. You trust in Him. He's going to honor that. Faith honors God. God honors faith. And it takes faith to be obedient to this verse. But that's okay because it takes faith to live the Christian life. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we must have faith. It takes faith to give thanks in everything. And it is through God that we can be thankful. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Sometimes in my prayer time, I will set my timer. I do this for a couple of things. I'll set my timer for, say, 5 minutes, and I'll ask God to search me, cleanse me and things of that nature. And sometimes it's longer than 5 minutes that I need to be confessing. But then I'll do the same thing with praise and thankfulness. I'll say, okay, God, for the next 5 minutes, I'm not going to ask you for anything. And there have been times where I'll start going and thanking the Lord and I'm like, okay, 5 minutes has got to be up. And I look, it's only 2 minutes. And I'm like, okay, got to think of some more things to be thankful for. You know, you can take the scriptures back to the Lord, Psalms. all those different psalms, the book of Psalm, you can take that to the Lord and just say those things back to Him. You can get out the hymnal, and I don't steal one here from the church, but you can get out a hymnal and have those hymns and just sing them back to the Lord. Oh, to take time to bless the Lord, to give thanks to Him. Psalm 34, verse 1. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then we get to this last word. It says, concerning you. You see, this is personal. This is where it's between you and God. Being thankful is personal. Giving thanks is personal. You have a responsibility yourself to give thanks to God. I have a responsibility of myself to be thankful. I think of the 10 lepers. Here Jesus heals these 10 lepers from a disease that there was no hope to be healed from, other than the priest that could pronounce them clean. But leprosy was a scourge of the ancient world. Their fingers would dissolve or fall off. Same thing with their toes. Their voices would become raspy. And it says that they all as one lifted up their voice saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And leprosy was a terrible, it's such a picture of sin. Because there's no cure other than God. once it starts, you can't replace those fingers. You can't replace the voice box. And yet when Jesus Christ healed those 10 lepers, that one leper comes back with a loud voice, praising God and worshiping Him, falling at His feet, worshiping Him. And Jesus says, where are the nine? I think He asked that same question today. Oh, we've known Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's saved us from our sins and we have a home in heaven, but we go on living as if He didn't really do much for us. We live, as it were, a practical atheism, like God just, okay, He did that, thank you, now I'm going to go do what I want to do. But there was one that came back and said, God, I'm thankful. I want to come back and say thanks. It was Kirk Cameron. I was watching an interview of him, Fireproof and Growing Pains, and he said that he was giving an interview this many years ago. He said, when I got saved, and I was on the set of Growing Pains, he says, God is working on me, and they wanted me to do a scene that was a compromising scene, and I said, I'm not doing it. We're not doing this on this show. And he says, when I said that, he says, everybody got upset. He says, the writers had to think of a whole new scene. The actors who were part of that scene had to memorize new lines. And he says, the tabloids got a hold of that and said, Kirk Cameron goes nuts off the religious deep end. He said, when it was nothing more than a 17-year-old being given, offered salvation and being rescued from hell, being given more than what anybody else could ever give him, being rescued from hell for all eternity, and wanting my life to be lived as a thank you back to God. He said that so sincerely. Oh, that hit me. To live my life as a thank you back to God for all that He's done for me. For all the things, I mean, if He just saved me from an eternity in hell, which He's done, and He doesn't do a single thing for me the rest of my life, He is worthy to be loved, served, honored, and obeyed. But He gives me blessings. He lets me come to church. Lets me to be married to this girl. I mean, I am so blessed. And oh, how much more I ought to just live my life as a thank you back to Him. When Christ was on the descent of the Mount of Olives, Luke chapter 19, they were praising Him and saying, it says, Luke 19:39-38, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Don't let your job be taken. In everything, give thanks in Christ Jesus. We kind of do it, it's got to be through the Lord. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We've got 5 minutes left, and why don't you take time right now to say thank you to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you just go to the Lord in prayer. Why don't you take time right now to thank Him for your salvation? Thank Him for the cross, the shame, the mockery, cat of nine tails, the betrayals, all that He endured, the blood that was shed for your sins and mine. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for the resurrection, the conquering of the grave, the conquering of sin, defeating the devil. Thank Him for His character. He's holy. Thank Him for His love, His mercy, His grace, His wisdom. Lord, You are worthy of all of our life. You're worthy of every breath, of every moment, of every day. Lord, I thank You for rescuing me from an eternity in the lake of fire. Thank You that I'll never, ever know the torments of hell. Thank You that I have the promise in Your word that I will be with You in heaven for all eternity. Lord, I thank You for the cross, and Lord, for enduring the cross, despising the shame. Lord, thank You for being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank You for the meekness that You showed. As that songwriter said, that in any time He could have called 10,000 angels. But Lord, You went as a lamb to the slaughter. You did it willingly. For my sins, for these others here, and for the sins of this whole world, I thank You, Lord, for that. Thank You for paying a price that you, for paying for sins that you did not owe. Lord, for becoming sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in you. Lord, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that we can walk in victory over sin, that we don't have to live a defeated Christian life. Thank you for defeating the devil and conquering grave and conquering sin. Lord, I do thank you that you are a God of holiness, that you're a God of love, you're a God of mercy. Psalm 136, every verse, your mercy endureth forever. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. Lord, giving us things that we don't deserve. Lord, being so good to us. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Snow and his family, blessing this church with such a wonderful pastor and family as you have. Lord, thank you for these folks here and the church members. Lord, thank you that we can pray for one another, that we can encourage one another, that we can edify one another. Lord, thank you for the ability to hear, the ability to speak, the ability to see. Lord, in just a little bit, to be able to sing songs to you and rejoice in your grace. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I've been asking you to exalt it more in my life, and I thank you for working on me with that. And Lord, how precious your word is. It's so easy for us to take it for granted, and I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's truth, that you never lie to us. The devil always lies, but you always tell us the truth. So, Lord, we thank you for these things, and then we ask you to help us to be able to be obedient to the verse that we went through today, in everything give thanks. May we not be known as gripers and complainers, but may we have a heart attitude of thankfulness. Lord, for some it's easier than others. Lord, I ask that you would help us all in this matter. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given to us. Pray that you'd bless in the service to follow. May you be exalted, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.